things will be good enough to have a net. So anyway, I'll pass it back to you so you can get some more check-ins. KAJOY KO4FE.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, and you're 35 to 40, same to me, so you're booming in here, so that's great. Let me see if I can find some others. This is K-A-J-O-Y, C-Q-C-Q for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. CQ, this is KAJOY for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Do I have some check-ins? Over. Good evening, Larry, N4ROQ. You're sounding good from Tennessee.
Yeah, I've got my old, one of my hybrid radios on here tonight, and I was trying to get on you there, so I'm going to see how I like it tonight on the Liberty Net there, Bob, but you're sounding good.
You're a little off frequency. I could try to find where you are if you want to let me adjust my wrist.
No, I'm under 10 to you, so I'm pretty close. I'm not too far off.
It sounds like you're a smidgen high, but I'm just kind of going by what I know your normal voice is.
Okay, how's that? I should be close.
That is pretty much you.
All right, thank you. Put me down there then, and we'll see what we can do with this thing, that.
All right, I got you down as number three. So number one is a listener, so you guys are doing good. CQCQ, looking for check-ins for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. And just so you know, Mr. Larry, James in Tennessee said that after you made that change that you were sounding good there.
Roger, roger. Thank you. You sound much better. I had you on there pretty good, but this sounds more like you right here. So I'm glad I got it close.
All righty. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll open the door, and then we'll see if we have some more check-ins. I'm kind of being your net control tonight because this weekend we are celebrating my son's 38th birthday. Unfortunately, I lost him 11 years ago next week on the 16th of March on his birthday. So a bunch of soldiers, family members, and a lot of the Stanford, Connecticut police are coming to celebrate. So that's why I'm here on Wednesday. Jesse will be Saturday. Good evening to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest-running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now and since the year of 1974, founded by Mr. Victor, W1WCR. This is the Arium Net, not the Pyrite Net. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the great The Liberty Net. I'll open by the Pledge of Allegiance, which has a real good meaning to me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. With that being said, let me see if I have any additional check-ins before we kick this off. So CQCQ, looking for check-ins on the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Well, I'm certain we will have more. I'm not sure where Mr. Dusty is, but I'm going to open it. There's so much going on, so I don't want to take good stuff away from you guys because I know you have great articles. But I've got this one about an armed citizen. This is why we have weapons in America. This is from the Epic Times, which if you don't subscribe to it, it really is a great newspaper. An armed person stopped an attempted burglary in Atlanta, Georgia this week, police said. On March 8th, around 3.03 p.m., officers responded to Chick-fil-A on Peachtree Street. Upon arrival, officers spoke with a witness who stated that a black male walked inside, produced a firearm, and demanded money from several employees. The employees fled the suspect exited the business a short time later. Several nearby citizens confronted the suspect as he was leaving. One of the citizens was armed at some point during the confrontation, the citizen fired several shots. The suspect ran on foot and was apprehended nearby by the citizen and held until police arrived. The Atlanta Police Department said in a preliminary update sent to the Epic Times, quote, the suspect's weapon was recovered. No one was struck by gunfire. I guess the armed citizens need to go back to the range. And charges are pending against the robbery suspect. No charges have been filed against the citizen, and the investigation continues. The suspect was identified as Willie Gloston, the fourth, 23 years of age. He should just get a real job. The arrest report does not show an address. The suspect was charged with armed robbery, aggravated assault, and possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony. He is being held in Fulton County Jail. A similar situation unfolded last month in the city of Philadelphia in the state of Pennsylvania. The Philadelphia Police Department said the two men stopped a Chevy Cruze in front of a pedestrian and got out before putting a gun at him. The victim pulled out his own gun and fired two shots. He was later found in critical condition with a head wound and rushed to the hospital. Now, that armed citizen, apparently he practiced better at the range. So, let me see if I've got anybody new before I kick this off. This is KHAOI for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Nothing hurt. I'm going to start off by saying hi to James in Memphis, Tennessee. KN4DES. Good evening, James. I know you're in the listening mode. Really appreciate you being with us. It's nice to see you on NetLogger. With that being said, I'm going to go to Mr. William, who always has some good articles. KO4FE. It is your turn, KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY. The real Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, you know, one of the things that probably drives me crazy more than anything else, it's highly annoying, are these wealthy people getting, you know, this posturing and this fake hysteria. I mean, I've watched parts of that interview that Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, well, I guess he's not a prince anymore. I don't know whether they pulled that title off of him, but Harry. And she's describing this basically a tiff that she had with Kate Middleton over some child's party dress or something. And she was just so wound up over this. You know, this was just totally traumatizing to her. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, you know, if I looked at the some of the disagreements my late wife had with her sister or her sister-in-law over things, nobody got traumatized. They just, you know, had a disagreement and went on about their business. But to hear this Meghan Markle sitting there talking like like Kate Middleton had put a knife to her throat or something, literally, and going on and on about how she was so traumatized by it. It's just mind-blowing. Well, anyway, we've got another faker here, this Chris Como. He's always on there with the Don Lemon, or Lemon. Some people call him Lemon. I don't know. He's a lemon, no matter how he pronounces his name. But anyway, listen to this headline. It says, Chris Cuomo to Don Lemon. You know I'm black on the inside. Yeah, he's trying to be black now, Chris Cuomo. Well, I take it back. He does have a black heart, but as far as being black in terms of being African on the inside, I think I'm going to have to call bullshit on that. Well, anyway, they had the following exchange. Cuomo said, I had somebody hit me with something today that hurt. She said to me, you know, I don't have to tell you about how I'm living with my family and how set back we are by this, because there was a TV show and that was all about it in the 70s, and it was the reality for too many people of color all over the country. And I said, what? And she said, I'll give you a hint. She said that this, I'm reading what they're saying, this isn't edited. She said that this was the end, just looking out the window, watching the ash fall grow. I don't know. And again, how it all looks handy down. I don't know what she means by that. And Lemon says, how do you know the words good times? Cuomo says, you know, I'm black on the inside. And Lemon says, good times, anytime you need a baby. Cuomo says, so good times, so Florida. That was that woman on that television show, Good Times, about the poor black family living in the projects. And Cuomo says, so good times, so Florida, who, by the way, was highly, hugely educated. I think she was a Yale. And, of course, Florida and James Evan, the portrait of being stuck in the Chicago projects. Lemon says, yes. Cuomo says, drugs and unending poverty, the anger and outrage of being incapable of getting past systematic oppression. Their son, Michael, you know, being caught in revolution. Lemon corrected him. He says, JJ. And Cuomo goes on. They start talking about the show. And they start talking about the introduction song, where Lemon said, keeping your head above water, making a way when you can. And then Cuomo said, making a way when you can. Temporary layoffs, good times, easy credit ripoffs, good times, scratching and surviving, good times. Well, anyway, they go on reciting the lyrics of that song for that television show. You know, I wonder, when has Chris Cuomo ever gone a day without having everything? I mean, he's the son of a governor. He attended private schools. He went to Yale. He went to other Ivy League schools. From there, he went into the news business. I'd like to know, when did Chris Cuomo ever need to be trying to get by and experience any temporary layoffs, and trying to keep his head above water, and looking around for easy credit ripoffs? Did he ever scratch and survive? I don't know, but he claims he's black. I guess he's trying to pretend like he knows something about the life of living in the Chicago projects. I mean, this guy's never struggled a day in his life, but yet he claims he's, and what's worse is you got this doofus, Don Lemon sitting there just, oh, yeah, Chris, I know what you mean, you know, just taking him serious. I mean, this is just ridiculous. So anyway, and you got Hillary Clinton, she's still crying, you know, she's oppressed too, you know, as a woman, she's oppressed. Meghan Markle, the Duchess of, what, Sussex, I can't remember what her title is, married to Harry, you know, millionaires living in a mansion, she's complaining and whining about oppression, how she's been traumatized, and Hillary Clinton's traumatized. You know, she's really had to struggle in her life. You know, she probably, you know, only makes probably $5 million a year off the Clinton Foundation. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, ask anybody. They probably couldn't make it on the money that Hillary Clinton has. Couldn't survive. Probably Hillary's probably taking food stamps. Who knows? By the way she talks, you'd think you'd almost feel sorry for her. Well, anyway, these clowns, I got to move on to another clown. Joe Biden. This is unbelievable. Joe Biden says the military will focus on making maternity flight suits. I guess so. If a woman's a pilot, she's got to have a special maternity flight suit. So, I guess this applies to fighter pilots. I guess so that, you know, she could be flying that jet around when she's 8 months pregnant and, you know, what happens here. So anyway, I guess he's assuming that, you know, pregnant women could drop into enemy territory during wartime. Anyway, happy International Women's Day. The Biden White House announced on Monday, which happened to be International Women's Day, that the U.S. military is focusing on, quote, maternity flight suits, unquote, for pregnant women. Because it's important that pregnant women are able to drop into enemy territory during wartime. Biden made this statement right before he forgot where the hell he was. And the name of the general standing behind him, Joe's handler for the day, Kamala Harris, was standing behind him but failed in her daily duties. Yeah, she didn't correct him. And I saw that Biden was talking about the, I guess it was, what, the Secretary of Defense, and he called him that guy over there that runs the Pentagon. Didn't even know who it was or what to call him. So I don't know. I'm predicting that Joe Biden's not going to last much longer. I think they're prepping Kamala Harris, because Biden is, when he does come out, he makes a fool of himself. They're trying to keep him in the basement of the White House, but every now and then he comes out and makes a comment, and he's sticking his foot in his mouth every time. So anyway, but he's working on these maternity flight suits, because we got to have these pregnant women, you know, flying these fighter airplanes. Wonder if they're sending any of them over to Syria. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KA8JOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KJY. Well, to make comments of yours, so the prince and princess, of all things, have an interview with Oprah, a racist herself, and they're all whining and crying about the skin color of the new baby. And it's my knowledge from doctors and nurses that the color of an infant is not any darker than the darkest parent. So I'm thinking it's not a problem, but of all people to pick to whine and cry to Oprah, and then I really do like that flight suit thing. I heard that on the news, and one of the local, I think it was Stitchfield, made a comment about, are there going to be breast pumps in the flight suit, over?
I know you meant that as a joke, but don't think they won't come up with something like that. That would be perfect. But of all things to be talking about maternity flight suits, I mean, come on.
If we could turn into a bigger group of pansies, it is so embarrassing to think that that's something that our leader is talking about. When a female is pregnant, they're not even supposed to be on a regular aircraft past the second month, over.
Yeah, Roger. I guess, maybe Biden doesn't even know what he's talking about. He could have been going off script into dementia or something.
He is a bumbling boob. All righty. Well, before I move along, let me see if I have anybody else new before I go to Mr. Larry. CQ, looking for check-ins for the Wednesday night Liberty Net.
KD0RSA.
Hello there, Mr. Moe. KD0RSA. I will put you on the list, sir.
Well, I'll be a short one.
All righty. Well, you'll be right after Mr. Larry, and he's next. So thank you for joining us. Mr. Larry, N4ROQ, KHAOY.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Sounding good to that. I'm on the USA Today list here. I've got a lot of stuff on the internet I could bring out. I've got a lot of good emails and things that
about being white.
You know, if you're white, Socialist Democrats recommend a whole bunch of stuff that you got to do. I'll try to find that article. I really thought that should have been brought out. But anyway, what we got now is South Korea and U.S. scale-back military drills. This is from Seoul, South Korea. The South Korean and U.S. militaries are scaling back their annual exercises this month due to the COVID-19 pandemic and to support diplomacy focusing on North Korea's nuclear program. Seoul's Joint Chiefs of Staff said in a statement that the allies decided to start the 9-day drills Monday after reviewing factors like the status of the pandemic and diplomatic efforts to achieve denuclearization and peace on the Korean Peninsula. Said the drills are defensive in nature. Last year, the Allies canceled their springtime drills after some of their troops were infected with the coronavirus. In recent years, the countries have also suspended or downsized many of their regular trainings to create more space for the now stalled U.S.-led diplomatic drive to convince North Korea to denuclearize in return for economic and political incentives. U.S.-South Korea drills have been a major source of animosity on the peninsula, with North Korea viewing them as invasion rehearsals and responding with its own weapons tests. So Biden is scaling back there with South Korea, keeping good graces, it looks like, with the North Korean leader. And I don't know if he's still okay or whether the certain guy was in operation and he wasn't doing too good a year or so ago. But I don't know how he is. He's coming from the USA Today. N4ROQ Friday. Okay, here's another article that says aerials show huge blaze after oil facility strike in Syria. That's from Beirut. A suspected missile strike on an oil loading facility used by Turkey-backed opposition forces in northern Syria sparked a massive blaze across a large area where oil tankers are normally parked. Aerial and satellite images show Syria opposition groups and at least one more monitor blame Russia for the strike Friday night near the Turkey border. In the report, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said Russian warships in the Mediterranean has fired three missiles that struck primitive oil refineries and tanker trucks in the region. So it looks like Russia is still involved in Syria somewhat there. So we'll see. Russia may be, they're trying to get in closer to Israel. And I don't know if they've done any warning of Israel, but who knows? You know, you don't know what's happening there. Here's another article on the military. Is B-52s fly over Mideast in U.S. warning to Iran. Comes from Dubois, USA Today. United Arab Emirates. A pair of B-52 bombers flew over the Mideast on Sunday, the latest such mission in the region aimed at warning Iran amid tensions between Washington and Tehran. The flight by the two heavy bombers came as a pro-Iran satellite channel based in Beirut broadcast Iranian military drone footage of an Israeli ship hit by a mysterious explosion only days earlier in the Mideast, and I remember that. While the channel sought to say Iran wasn't involved, Israel has blamed Iran for what it has described as an attack on the vessel. The U.S. military central command said the two B-52s flew over the region accompanied by military aircraft from nations including Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. It marked the fourth such bomber development in the Mideast this year, and the second under President Joe Biden. Flight tracking data showed the two B-52s flew out of Air Force Base in North Dakota, something Central Command did not mention in its statement on the flight, though authorities later published images of the flight crew preparing its departure there. The military did not directly mention Iran, saying the flight was to deter aggression and reassure partners and allies of the U.S. military's commitment to security in the region. However, such flights have become something common in the last month, former President Donald Trump's administration. Trump's 2018 decision to unilaterally withdraw from Iran's nuclear deal with world powers sparked a series of escalated incidents in the region. Biden has expressed a desire to return to the deal if Iran honors the deal's limits on its nuclear program. However, tensions remain high after militias in Iraq, likely backed by Iran, continue to target American interests. Biden last month launched an airstrike just over the border into Syria in retaliation. Joining every American president from Ronald Reagan onward to a limited bombardment of countries in the Middle East. Meanwhile, Sunday, Beirut-based channel Al Mayadeen aired footage of the Helios Ray, a Bahamian flagged Rayon vehicle cargo ship hit by the blast February 26th in the Gulf of Oman. Quite a bit of stuff is still going on, and interesting to see who's taking each other's side. Here's another article regarding 12 Republican AGs sue Biden over climate order. There is no doubt Biden has got executive orders stacked up on his desk a mile high, and he is signing every day. Now, executive orders were not meant to sidestep Congress like he's doing, and really, really signing a bunch of executive orders, taking away everything that, all the progress that President Trump had done to the nation. He's backpedaling on everything. Okay, here it says USA Today, Joy Garrison and Ledyard King. 12 states with Republican attorneys generals Monday sued President Joe Biden over his first executive order aimed at climate change, alleging he lacked the constitutional authority to implement new rules about greenhouse gases. The federal lawsuit led by Republican Attorney General Eric Schmidt of Missouri argues Biden violated the separation of powers clause in the Constitution because Congress, not the President, has the power to regulate. On his first day in the White House, Biden signed Executive Order 13990 directing federal agencies to calculate the social cost of greenhouse gas pollution by estimated monetized damages to inform future federal regulation. This includes changes in the net agricultural productivity, human health, property damage from increased flood risk, and the value of ecosystem services. Sounds like a bunch of baloney to me. Yeah, but the 12 states that are plaintiffs say assigning such values is a quintessential legislative action that fails within Congress exclusive authority, or falls within Congress exclusive authority. They also say the economic ratifications of the order will be disastrous. If the executive order stands, it will inflict hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars of damage to the U.S. economy for decades to come. It will destroy jobs, stifle energy production, strangle American energy independence, suppress agricultural, deter innovation, and impoverish working families. It undermines the sovereignty of the United States and tears up the fabric of liberty. Republican state attorney generals from Arkansas, Arizona, Indiana, Kansas, Montana, and Nebraska, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Utah joined the suit. The White House and the Department of Justice declined to comment on the suit. The complaint asked the court to issue an order that prohibits federal agencies from using social cost estimates and to declare they are arbitrary, capricious, unreasonable, and contrary to the law, among other relief. Executive Order 13990 also revoked the Keystone XL pipeline permit and instructed the Interior Department to review the Trump administration's decision to shrink the boundaries of national monuments. It was one of several early executive actions Biden took to combat climate change during his first month in office. Orders that Biden signed on January the 27th elevated climate change as a national security concern, committed to the goal of conserving at least 30%, an increase of 12%, of all federal land and water by 2030. And to build on his economic policy agenda to direct federal agencies to procure carbon pollution, free electricity, and clean zero-emission vehicles to create good-paying union jobs and stimulate clean energy industry. Biden campaign on being the most aggressive president on climate change. And his goal is to decarbonize the U.S. power sector by 2035 on the way to reaching net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. Statues or states on both sides of the issue have sued the federal government on climate change. Assuming all this will not work, we're doing away with all of our vehicles as we know it today. Except that all will be plug-in electricity. That's the only kind of vehicle you're going to have in the future. General Motors and Volvo have already said by 2035, I believe, that they will not make any more carbon combustion engine vehicles. All will be electric. And there's probably going to be a bunch of others follow suit, so it's going to be a mess. Back to you up there, Bob. Hopefully there'll be more check-in, and
it's sounding good down here tonight on the Liberty Net.
KAAJY from N4ROQ.
Thank you, Larry. I think it's interesting how they want to do all these electric cars. I owned one. It was a pain in the butt, and electric cars do not charge themselves from solar panels. You need electricity, which is generated by mostly fossil fuel or natural gas. So it's still leaving a carbon footprint. Over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. And it's going to be, like you say, a big hindrance to us. I don't think I would want one. And I like what I've got now, carbon. I like to drive around and not have to worry about plugging my vehicle in all the time to be able to go. That sounds like a golf cart or something like that. You know, it might be okay for a golf cart, but not a vehicle. Back to you there, Bob.
It was truly a pain, so. All righty, Larry, N4ROQ, KHOY. Mr. Moe in the great state of Nebraska, KD0RSA, what say you, over?
KD0RSA, Moe up here in Nebraska. Well, thank you, Bob, for letting me in. I just got turned over here. Had a good nap, anyway. So I just thought I'd drop in to see what you guys are talking about and what have you. Well, I don't have much to talk about, but it tickled me when Harry got himself thrown out of the whatever over there in England. That proves one thing. A man's got two heads, and that one hanging between his legs. Jangling between his legs, don't have a lick of brains. I just thought I had to throw that in. KD0SA, back to net over.
Roger, Roger, you are true. And since you brought up good old Harry and his spouse, KN4DES sent a message and it says, millionaire royalty and a billionaire have a woe is me bitch session. What the F? Thank you, James, that was good. Let me see if I have anybody new. This is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Do I have any additional check-ins? Nothing heard, so let me throw out a couple. I was watching Newsmax, and Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. She apparently is a rather new House of Representatives. She's Republican. She definitely is trying to stomp her feet and be part of the drain the swamp. But she was on Newsmax, and they had a clip from her in Congress with a mask on that said, and I quote, "This mask is as useless as Joe Biden." I ordered two of them yesterday. So let's see, what about another thing? How about Austria? They suspend AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine batch after deaths, multiple deaths. So, not doing really good with that one. And I'll throw another one out that I think is funny. The skunk Pepe Le Pew. Pepe Le Pew perpetrates the rape culture. A black news person by the name of Charles Blow. That's perfect. He says that Pepe Le Pew grabs and kisses a girl or stranger repetitively without consent and against her will. The girl struggles mightily to get away from him, but he won't release her. He locks the door to prevent her from escaping. And Charles Blow says, this is teaching boys that no doesn't really mean no, and that it was part of the game in power control over women. I gotta say, I've watched Pepe Le Pew, and at no time did I think in my young mind, I want to go out and rape a female. It's just bizarre. So, let me see if there's anybody else, and I'll start back over. KAAJY for the Liberty Net. Nothing heard. Again, hi to James, KN4CES, and Mr. Bill, KO4FE. I'm back to you, KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY. And the real Liberty Net, not that fake bullshit that goes on another part of the band, the counterfeit pyrite net. This is KO4FE. Well, I see the band's lengthening out. Bob, your signal's down to about almost an S9. I'm probably doing the same out your way, but Larry's holding up. I did want to say, Larry, that the audio on that radio you're using is a lot better than the than that other rig you've been using. I don't know if it was processing or what, but this rig has better audio. It's a lot easier to understand. Thought I'd pass that on. But anyway, we got, you know, this woke baloney and all this victimhood and all this stuff, you know, this is getting ridiculous. And here's an example of a case where a completely made up story led to a person in France being murdered. Gateway pundit, 13-year-old Muslim student admits she made up story that led to French teacher's beheading. A 13-year-old Muslim student in France has admitted she fabricated the story that led to a school teacher being beheaded last year. The student claimed that her teacher, Samuel Patty, had showed an image of Mohammed during a lesson on free speech, which he had asked the Muslim students to leave the room for. Once her tall tale made it online, an outrage mob ensued, and the teacher began to receive death threats. This is her lawyer, said she lied because she felt trapped in a spiral because her classmates had asked her to be a spokesperson, unquote. Her lawyer, Mabiko Tabula, said after the girl, who reportedly had a history of behavioral problems, made her initial claims about the class, her father filed a legal complaint and posted a video online in early October. The Mail reported the video, which detailed the allegations against Pate, provoked outrage on social media, including death threats against the teacher. The teacher was beheaded in the street in the town of Conflans Saint-Héronin by an 18-year-old Chechen terrorist. The student has been charged with slander, but her father and an Islamist preacher have been charged with being complicit in the murder. The teacher's family is outraged that the lies were spread online and led to his murder. Everything in this investigation showed very early that she lied, Virginia Leroy told RTL Radio on Tuesday. She was a spokesperson of what? Of lies? Of events that never happened? This explanation does not convince me. It made me angry because the facts are serious. They're tragic. So here you got a Muslim girl makes up a story that causes another Muslim to cut the head off of a French teacher. And the whole damn story was completely bogus. She just made it up. It never happened. Nothing like it happened. So there you go. Muslims in action. All right, here to the United States. We switch from Islam to these nutcase blacks going off about white supremacy. It's everything. Everything's white supremacy. Listen to this story. Breitbart, California school board trustee calls return to in-person learning white supremacist ideology and slavery. These people are out of their damn minds. Listen to this story. Parents in the La Mesa Spring Valley, California school district are calling for the resignation of a school board trustee who referred to plans to return to in-person learning as white supremacist ideology. Reopen California Schools tweeted about trustee and board vice president Charta Bell Fontenot, who said during Tuesday's virtual board meeting that plans on how and when to bring children back into the classrooms for in-person learning, she said it seems like a very white supremacist ideology. What the hell does it have to do with it? You know, it's like anything that these leftists don't like, they just call it white supremacy and babbling about privilege. And in this case, she's even saying that in-person learning is slavery. That's a quote. With parents also watching the meeting, Belle Fontenot, who apparently was not on camera, was heard saying, "This seems like a very white supremacist ideology to force people to comply and conform, just letting you know." Well, the only thing you let people know is that you're an idiot. But anyway, continuing on, she says, "Privilege, check it, you guys." She was also heard saying to fellow school board members, one of whom is Hispanic. When other school board members continued to push for discussion about reopening schools, Belle Fontenot rejected their views. She said, "I don't want to be part of forcing anyone to do anything they don't want to do. That's what slavery is. I'm not going to be part of it." I mean, God. "You keep throwing out the racism, but I'm Hispanic. I don't understand that part either. I'm confused." "That's it," said the Hispanic member of the school board. A report at local ABC 10 News said parents Mai Tig and Spring Vic, who were among the hundreds of parents watching the meeting, were shocked at the words being used. Belle Fontenot had a very condescending tone, just talking down to everyone and resisting what anyone had to say, Teague said. "All those terms referring to going back to school, I don't see what the relevancy is in all of it. Someone who has her own personal agenda is not looking out for the best interests of the community and should not represent the schools at all," Teague added. Vic said Belle Fontenot should have been a little more professional. Well, that's pretty mild. Both Teague and Vic want their children to be able to return to school. When parents called for Belle Fontenot's resignation, La Mesa Spring Valley Superintendent David Feliciano released a statement on behalf of the board that read in part, "While we were also disappointed and offended by Trustee Fontenot's behavior, we were saddened to learn that she has received hateful, racist, and threatening communications as a result." What do you expect people to say? If it's even true, it could be totally fake. But anyway, he says, "We strongly condemn behavior that is racist, discriminatory, or threatens violence of any kind." So, he doesn't condemn this Fontenot talking about going back to schools, white supremacists and slavery and all this other stuff, but he condemns the reaction. However, ABC 10 News said that it is unclear who sent the communications referred to by Feliciano. Yeah, I'd like to know if there was even anything sent to her that was racist, hateful, and threatening. Probably just people complaining. Those ABC 10 News said they simply want Belle Fontenot to resign and have started a change.org petition, the report said. Chart of Belle Fontenot is unprofessional and does not represent our kids or community in the light in which they deserve the platform. The petition adds, our kids deserve better. We urge you to sign this petition for her immediate resignation. At the time of the publication, the petition had over 2,700 signatures. So anyway, there you go. Going back to school is white supremacy. Just like teaching kids to learn math is white supremacy. I'm wondering if there's anything that's... also, black people that don't agree with these leftist blacks or what they call them, secret white supremacists, or I don't know. Everything's white supremacist. It's just unbelievable. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Real Liberty Net, KO4FE.
It is amazing how much the black culture makes everything racist, but they're blaming it on us. Pretty soon they're going to change it so Wonder Bread is not allowed to be called white bread anymore. It'll be called entitled bread. Over. Alrighty, Mr. Larry, I hope I can stay in contact. The band is getting a little long, but I can hear William, so N4ROQ, KAAJOY.
Okay, yeah, it's getting a little noisy, but I got you okay there. Bob, I was kind of looking through the computer here, seeing if I could come up with some more good ideas. I'll go ahead and go with what I got out here. It says, thanks, by the way, Bill, about the audio. So I appreciate that. Let me know kind of how this one sounds. This, the Capitol Riot Review calls for more police. Why didn't the Democrats have a review on all this Black Lives Matter stuff when they were burning down all the cities, Democratic cities around? I still haven't heard about a review on them. Okay, it says, Washington, U.S. Capitol Police should dramatically expand staffing, focus on intelligence gathering, and coordinate better with the National Guard to prevent another attack like the January the 6th riot, according to a security review headed by retired Army Lieutenant General Russell Honored. That's spelled H-O-N-O-R-E. That is being presented to House members Monday. The House and Senate will have to consider which recommendations to adopt and how to fund them. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, who asked Honore to lead the review, has called the report a draft that will require additional funding. They just got their funding almost $3 trillion worth of to all these Democratic cities. And a little bit of $1,400 money coming back to some of the citizens. The recommendation in the 15-page report includes better funding for police, Capitol Police, a force of about 2,000 officers that has 232 vacancies and spent 55% of the overtime for the year during the first 5 months of the fiscal year. The report recommended creating 854 more jobs to reduce overtime and cover new duties such as intelligence gathering, hastening the ability of the Capitol Police Chief to request support from other law enforcement agencies or the National Guard, which now requires a cumbersome process with the Capitol Police Board. Hours long delays in requesting the Guard occurred on January the 6th, adopting mobile fences around the Capitol, which would easily be erected and removed during emergencies. Rioters on January the 6th were able to quickly overcome metal barriers that officers stood by and improving communications to allow clears to bypass Carter's radio channels to communicate without interruption. The report also recommended that officers wear body cameras, as Metropolitan Police do, immediately enhancing security for lawmakers in the district offices and considering the use of more bomb dogs and perhaps even a reduction of force patrols, which were the U.S. Capitol Police issued a statement Monday saying the agency would review the recommendation. We believe enhancements to the Capitol's complex physical infrastructure are required. We also agree we need to increase our manpower and overall response capabilities, the statement said. In the final, we'll continue to work with our congressional stakeholders and law enforcement partners as we strengthen our security measures at the Capitol. So, I still don't see anything about the Black Lives Matter groups that were burning down the, you know, the different cities, the Democrat cities. Where's the investigation there? I don't see anything. All right, let me see if I can find the Epic Times. If you guys have access to acquiring information from the Epic Times, that is a great paper, and they put it online. You get so many papers. A month, maybe one, Bob, K.A. J.O. Ross, is receiving that, and I know several people in Knoxville that are. I haven't signed up for it yet, but I've liked their articles, and they're very conservative, and they tell, they get involved and tell the, not any fake news there, people. It is strictly right on the line. They're telling you exactly what is happening. So, really, really good paper and really good information. Well, here's an article about this LGBTQ bill. These Democrats love all this. They want to sign up all these transgender athletes and have them going in the girls' bathrooms with men. They don't say anything about the birth certificate, if you're male or female at that point. They're okay if you change at any time, even as a small child. Here it says on USA Today, Amazon, Vanderbilt, University, Nissan, Warner Music Group, and dozens more Tennessee corporations, industry associations, and small businesses sent a letter to state lawmakers opposing bills targeting LGBTQ residents. The people, these are the liberals, Amazon, Vanderbilt University, Nissan, Warner Music Group, a dozen more Tennessee corporations, industry associations, and small businesses. The open letter comes a week after the state Senate approved the bill barring transgender athletes from participating in middle and high school sports teams under their gender identity. The House has not yet set a vote on the matter. Governor Bill Lee, he's just governor of Tennessee, said he supports the effort. I do believe that transgenders participating in women's sports will destroy women's sports, Lee said, as he's the governor. It will ruin the opportunity for girls to earn scholarships and will put a flat glass ceiling back over women. The letter signed by 137 businesses and industry groups calls the bill and other similar legislation discriminatory and unfair. We need our workers and their families, including any transgender members of their families, to feel welcome in our state. We urge policymakers to remain committed to the values of innovation and growth that we all share. Any movement of these exclusionary bills is particularly troubling while we are dealing with so many other pressing workforce and economic concerns amid the COVID crisis. So, anyway, the article goes on, but the Liberal Democrats want these LGBTQ residents to transgender athletes. They want them to be, even if their gender is male, they want them to be against. They want them to be playing with females. They want them to be in the female bathroom, in their dressing room. So they have no idea, and then they want them to compete. They want them to compete in women's sports, right along with the women, even though they're men and trying to change it over to be women. So anyway, it's a messed up deal. Let's see what you got in these socialist Democrats and what their agenda is, especially with the EPA military, all this stuff. They're wanting all these transgenders and homosexuals to be right in there fighting and taking baths and bathrooms with all the other troops. So that's what we got right there so far. Okay, we'll stop it right there, Bob. Down and get it over here. Hopefully the banner will still hold in there and join the net. From N4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee, back to me.
Alrighty, Larry. And yes, the audio is good on that radio. You were just off a few cycles to the beginning, but the audio's nice. I'm going to throw out the comment that KN4ZES said. I asked him, was there any additional comments that I could express on your behalf? His statement was, nothing of real content for now, just trying to temper my emotions with the insane news cycles. I really appreciate everyone's discussion. It's therapeutic. So thank you, James, for that. Let me go to Mr. Mo again. KD0RSA. Mr. Mo, anything else from you?
Well, thank you, Bob. This is KD0RSA. Well, I did hear Larry talking about Biden and his career, what the women and the men and what have you. Well, fortunately, South Dakota has a governor up there that made a straight in South Dakota. It's my understanding that women are women and men are men, and that's the way it's going to be up there. You don't participate one of the men in the women's bathroom and vice versa. So she made it quite plain up there that wasn't going to be tolerated, and hooray for her. That's about all I got to add right at the moment. KD0RSA, over.
Thank you, Mo. Yes, it's good to have the flyover states that are taking a stand against California's craziness and New York's craziness. All righty, let me check and see if I have anybody new before I start the last round. This is KAJOY for the Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so I'm going to throw out this article from last week, and I saw the photograph. So a group of migrants crossing the U.S.-Mexican border were photographed on Tuesday wearing T-shirts and carrying signs that say, quote, Biden, please let us in, unquote. I've seen a photograph, and there's got to be hundreds of them with these T-shirts, and the T-shirts have the Biden logo, like when he was running for office. So who bought all of those T-shirts and passed them out to all of those migrants? The migrants were photographed at the San Ysidro Crossing Port in Tijuana, Baja, California, carrying signs and shouting slogans in support of President Joe Biden's proposed immigration policies. Biden is working to process as many as 25,000 asylum seekers who are waiting in Mexico under the Trump administration Migrant Protection Program. Again, it's gonna be yours and my money that's gonna feed them, house them, give them medical attention, but yet we don't get that for crap. There has also been a rapid influx of children migrants crossing the border, but the Biden administration has refused to label it a crisis. The number of migrant kids crossing the border is on pace to exceed the all-time record by 45%, and the administration does not have enough beds to shelter them all. I understand that some of these people are being bused to Virginia, so they're bringing them right into the heart of America. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez criticized Biden's decision to temporarily reopen a Texas migrant facility in February and launched a fundraising campaign on Friday to fight for immigration reform. Again, they can't speak the language. A lot of probably aren't bringing good job skills, but we want to make them Americans. This is not okay. Never has it been okay. Never will it be okay, said the Democratic New York representative. The emergency facility was reactivated to hold up to 700 children ages 13 to 17. Now, isn't this the same thing that they bitched and carried on about President Trump was trying to deal with all these children that are being brought over by coyotes? But now it's a different story. Good old Joe Biden. And why hasn't Joe Biden had a State of the Union address or a press conference? Makes me wonder. Let me go back to Mr. Bill, KO4FE, KA8JOY. KO4FE, KA8JOY. Mr. Bill, are you with us? Nothing heard. Mr. Larry, what else you got for us tonight? Then 4ROQ, KAHJLY.
Okay. Let me see if I can get this Blabberbuzz article to stay on here while I'm communicating. All right, let's see. The average price per gallon in the United States as of Tuesday morning was $2.82. 34 cents higher from only a month ago, according to Gas Buddy, with specialists generally believing consumers should prepare for even more pain at the pump. The national gas price average will likely hit $3 by Memorial Day and stay around that price for the majority of the summer. J.R. Young, Chief Executive Officer at King Operating Corporation, a Dallas oil and gas operator, explained to the Epoch Times in an email statement. Young said that the rising gas price story was a resurgent demand combined with squeezed supply. Gasoline demand rose to the top level last week since the pandemic began, as cases are dropping and more Americans are getting out more and filling up. Federal data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration noted that gas prices have mostly grown steadily since they bottomed out in early May 2020. Nearby, the peak of lockdowns imposed to restrict the spread of the CCP, Chinese Communist Party virus. The reopening that followed into the summer months roughly tracked with increasing prices at the pump, which tapered off and evenly declined slightly into the fall as the second wave drove cases higher. Yet with the vaccine rollout underway, continued reopening demand keeps on increasing. I believe there's still not that many people driving yet. It's still starting to start back up. So I can't see a big jump in the gas prices. And I think it's going to go way up. I use the 93 octane without the ethanol. The ethanol is just it's not for me. It's very deadly for your vehicle, especially your vehicle's motor. So be careful with that ethanol. It tends to eat your gas lines out and damage your damage your all kinds of things in your motor. So be careful with ethanol.
All right. Let's see if I see anything up here worth reporting here.
Former Shell Oil President Ron Hoffmeister worried that President Joe Biden's policies may drive prices even higher. Hoffmeister affirmed in an interview on Thursday that the supply squeeze was having the most direct short-term impact on gas prices. But there's something else that's going on that's more subtle, he explained, particularly that the industry that producers are practicing serious capital discipline. And they're not rolling back to produce more oil. They're also getting squeezed by the administration. So the ban on leasing, the prohibition on new leases from the Biden administration that's going on to create a psychology in the industry, there's going to be less available, and the psychology drives the prices as well. As long as we see this hostile administration, we're going to have a problem with prices. Hoffmeister concluded. You can tell that they're against any type of oil and gas production. They're all electric. They don't have any clue or care about the price of gas, as I can see in the Biden administration. So we'll see how that goes forward on that. Took out another article there. An article regarding the Supreme Court on Thursday made it harder for long-time immigrants who have been convicted of a crime to avoid deportation. Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote that the opinion for a 5-3 conservative majority that ruled against a Mexican citizen who entered the U.S. illegally has lived in the country for 25 years. The man, Clemente Avelino Ferenda, has been charged in Nebraska with using fraudulent Social Security cards to get a job and then convicted under state law against criminal impersonation. Not all criminal convictions invariably lead to deportation, but Gorsuch wrote for the court that Prezeda failed to prove he was not convicted of a serious crime. Under immigration law, certain non-permanent aliens seeking to cancel a lawful removal order must prove that they have not been convicted of a disqualifying crime, Gorsuch wrote. In a dissent from the three-level justices, Justice Stephen Breyer wrote that the court itself should have ruled for Ferenda because he was convicted under a law that includes serious offenses falling into the category of crimes for moral turpitude and less serious ones. The relevant documents in the case do not show that the previous conviction at issue necessarily was for a crime involving moral turpitude, Breyer wrote. The liberals do not want these Mexicans, even though they're committed crimes, to be sent back. And all of them, as far as I can tell, most all of them know where they can get social security numbers. They can get their bogus cards, social security cards, and all the green card information that they need to come over to this job. Now this is going on big time. They're providing them with all this stuff to be able to drive and all kinds of stuff and vote and everything else with all this driver's license and social security money. Just watch out in the future. Biden has a terrible problem at the border about changing all of Trump's rules and regulations regarding all these people coming in, and they're flowing in like a ticket now, and it's only going to get worse. So just watch them in your town. They're going to be flowing in, not been checked for age,
AIDS or anything, COVID-19, the China virus, they call it. It's all drugs, whatever. It's going to all get worse and worse. If you have no borders, language, or culture, your nation can all last very long. We'll see how it goes. So back to you, Bob. K8JOY from N4RO.
Alrighty, Mr. Larry, N4ROQ, KHOY. I got a quick article about Disney. So everything is part of the cancel culture. So Disney Plus is going to pull Dumbo, Peter Pan, The Aristocrats, and the Swift Family Robinson. Dumbo was in 1941. The Crows and the Musical Number pay homage to racist minstrel shows where white performers with blackened faces, tattered clothing, imitate and ridicule enslaved Africans on southern plantations. The leader of the group in Dumbo is Jim Crow, which shares the names of laws that enforce racial segregation in the United States. God, these people got nothing else to do. It is so amazing. Let me turn the page here. My paper is stuck. I cannot get this page. There we go. Let go. Peter Pan, 1953. The film portrays Native people in a stereotypical manner that reflects neither the diversity of the Native people nor their authentic culture tradition. It shows them speaking in unintelligible language and repeatedly refers to them as redskins, an offensive term. Peter and Lost Boys engage in dancing, wearing headdresses, and other exaggerated sports. Swift Family Robinson, 1960. The pirates who agonize with the Robinson family are portrayed as a stereotypical foreign menace. Many appear in yellow face or brown face and are costumed in the exaggerated or inaccurate manner that top knot hairstyles, robes, and overdone facial makeup and jewelry, reinforcing their barbarism and otherness. I don't know what otherness is. And last but not least, The Aristocrats, 1970. The Siamese cat, Shungun, is depicted as a racist culture of East Asia people with an exaggerated stereotypical traits such as slanted eyes and buck teeth. He sings in poorly accented English voice by a white actor and plays the piano with chopsticks. Again, these are cartoons. These people got way too much time on their hands. Way too much time. Mr. Mo, KD0RSA. What else you got for the night, KHAOI?
KD0RSA. Well, thank you, Bob. I don't have anything else to hand, so I'll just be sent your best man. KD0RSA, back to Bob, over.
All righty, Mr. Mo. Appreciate you joining us tonight. I'm sorry it's not a larger group. I don't know what happened to Jesse and some of the others that normally check in with us, but I've got Miss Laura, N2JTTF, and I'm assuming that Martin is there, N2IRJ, and most likely the kitty is listening. So with that being said, let me see if I have any late check-ins. This is KHAOY for the Liberty Net. Nothing else to add? Mr. Bill, are you back with us? KO4FE, KHAOY. Nothing heard. Mr. Larry, do you have another article you want to throw out before we close the door?
Oh, I sure do. Guess what? Oklahoma, they put a Bigfoot bounty, and it's soaring to over $2 million. So, my goodness, I think I'm going to go Bigfoot hunting. The Oklahoma lawmakers' audacious idea to create a Sasquatch hunting season in the state has transformed into a literal Bigfoot bounty that promises over $2 million. To the first person who captures the legendary creature alive. State Representative Justin Humphrey sparked worldwide headlines back in January when he introduced the controversial legislation. Despite all the publicity, perhaps because of it, the bill ultimately got bogged down in bureaucracy and never made it to Oklahoma House floor for a vote.
Be that as it may, Humphrey is undeterred and has come up with a clever way to vote
further the concept and raise the stakes considerably. I'm waiting on the computer. There is some more to it. Let's see. What else is coming up here on this? As he explained to a local media outlet, the lawmaker learned of a legal loophole of sorts that would apparently allow him to bypass legislation and instead simply enlist the state's tourism department to issue tracking permits for Bigfoot under the proviso that the holder of the license understood that they were not allowed to steal or harm the creatures. However, should they manage to capture a Sasquatch, the individual would stand to reap a hefty reward. According to Humphrey, his original envisioned $25,000 prize for the creature has now ballooned to a whopping $2.1 million Bigfoot bounty thanks to pledges from local businesses and a film production company. To his credit, the lawmaker's initial legislation expressly forbids killing a Bigfoot, but the details were largely lost in the furor which erupted when he introduced the resolution. Be that as it may, it would appear that the matter of establishing a Bigfoot hunting season seems to have been settled, as Humphrey hopes to move ahead with the plan under the auspices of the tourism office and intends to work with them to come up with specific rules for what he's taking to call the state Sasquatch threat. While those who do not believe in Bigfoot will undoubtedly see the lawmaker's idea as a rather silly endeavor. If they are correct, the cryptid is not real, perhaps Humphrey ought to be doubly credited for generating will be a significant amount of revenue for the state out of nothing but thin air. So,
they're out there. We'll just see if
I'm afraid you're not going to be able to lead them in, though. You might trap them, but they're pretty daggone smart. So, I'm not sure about that. But, moving on from there, Here's an article that we missed the other day when the event was called because of the bad conditions. This is the response to attack Congress. The White House warned that the U.S. may consider a military response to the rocket attack that hit an air base in western Iraq where American coalition troops are housed. Raising concerns, this could trigger a new round of escalated violence. U.S. contractor died after at least 10 rockets.
It's 10 rockets now. Slammed into the base, and
while no group claimed responsibility, it was the first strike since the U.S. bombed Iran aligned militia targets along the Iraq-Syrian border last week. Heightened tensions with Iranian-backed militia groups in Iraq could lead to more attacks, complicating the Biden administration's desire to open talks with Iran over the 2015 nuclear deal, as well as the ongoing U.S. strategy to focus more attention on Asia. Asked about the attack, President Joe Biden told reporters, "We are following that through right now." He added, "Thank God no one was killed by the rocket, but one individual, a contractor, died of a heart attack." "Well, we're identifying who's responsible and making judgments about a response." While President Zelensky suggests the calculated U.S. airstrikes last week could be a model for a military response. Those strikes were in response to an attack on American forces in northern Iraq earlier in February. Looks like Biden's getting ready to hit somebody over there. And let's see what happens. Yes, I think I'll go ahead and shoot it back to you, Bob. See how the band's doing there and look at the one articles. Enjoying the net. Hopefully everyone's enjoying the net. Four ROQ.
All righty, Larry. I'm going to read a little piece here. We have an action group in Ohio. It's called Ohio Stand Up. And I have their brochure. I won't leave the whole brochure, but the call for action is an interesting piece. It says, since March, Governor DeWine has issued over 100 state orders with a clear and ever-present threat of another shutdown. In Ohio, suicide is now the number one cause of death for ages 10 through 14. I have to tell you, at the age 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, I don't think I even knew what suicide was. It is the number one cause of death in the ages 10 through 14. For ages 15 through 34, suicide is the number two cause of death in Ohio. Unless Ohioans take a stand now, Governor DeWine will continue using unlawful and unconstitutional mandates, maintaining a police state, destroying businesses, ruining the economy, and depriving children of the opportunity of the education they deserve. When 99.97% of Ohioans have survived over 9 months of COVID-19, so people that have gotten COVID-19 that are positive, 99.97 of Ohioans have survived it. Clearly the governor has mistaken. Ohioans need to get back to work, get back to school, and get back to living a life absent of politically motivated and propaganda-driven fear. Ohio Stand Up needs your financial support to proceed with legal action against the state and the governor's unconstitutional mandates. It will take the dedication and contributions of every freedom fighter to end the tyranny. Join us in taking action now. Now is the time to stand up for our freedom. Please visit us at Ohio Stands Up and make a donation to help fight this for Ohio. And I am going to go send them a check. I think that's a good thing. So far yesterday, I mailed out, five letters? I mailed out letter to each one of our senators. I mailed out a letter to Marsha Fudge, which is a dingbat House of Representatives, who Biden just made the HUD Secretary, Housing and Urban Development, and she is an African-American woman, and she doesn't want to hear a word a white man or a Republican has to say. She is now the HUD Secretary. God help us. And then I wrote a letter to Georgia Republican Representative Marjorie Greene Taylor, or Taylor Green, and thanked her for standing up for Americans and for wearing the face mask that says, this mask is as useless as Joe Biden. I really like that mask. So, all righty, well, pretty much it's you and me at the moment, Larry. Let me see if I have anybody else that wants to join us. This is KAHJOY with the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. All righty. Well, Mr. Larry, if you've got something else, I'm all ears.
Okay, Rob. Well, I've probably got some good stuff here. I've got all kinds of emails that really, really are very interesting. But sometimes it's hard to get a hold of. Let's see. Here's an article. Let's see if I can get it brought up here regarding why the Pelosi and Biden administration want D.C. to remain militarized. Even National Guard is skeptical. And if I can get it to come up, I'll read it here. It's not wanting to work too good here for some reason. And let's see. If it's going to come up, something happened here. While I'm waiting on that, I just thought this was a SpaceX video.
a good SpaceX thing sent to me. If anybody wants it, I probably could send it on to them there regarding Elon Musk and his trials and simulations there. He had a lot of missiles blown up there before he finally got some to stay together.
Here's an article regarding Aunt Jemima brand receives new name. Aunt Jemima is getting a new name. Quaker Oats is rebranding the General Pancake brand as Pearl Milling Company. The Pepsi Company brand announced the new name logo recently, nearly 8 months after the company said it would retire Aunt Jemima's packaging on its brand of syrup and pancake mixes because it was based on a racial stereotype. In June of 2020, the breakfast brand announced plans to overhaul products and imaging and change the name in the wake of renewing calls for racial equality in 4ROT. The Pearl Milling Company branded pancake mixes, syrup, cornmeal, flour, and grits products are expected to start arriving in stores on June of 2021. Products will continue to be available under the Aunt Jemima name without the character image until June. Pepsi said in a news release, the move considered long overdue by experts, historians, and some consumers was the first time in a series of rebranded announcements agreed to include Uncle Ben's, Mrs. Butterworth, Cream of Wheat, and Eskimo Pie. The first Aunt Jemima's image was based on Kentucky native Nancy Green, a Civil War era slave from Mount Sterling. Originally, Aunt Jemima was shown with a wide smile and wearing a bandana in her hair, an image that faced criticism for years as it was accused of encouraging racial stereotypes. Quaker Oats bought the Aunt Jemima brand in 1925. In 1989, the image was revamped for a new model wearing pearl earrings with straightened curls. Uncle Ben's parent company, Mars Incorporated, unveiled the Rice brand's new name last September, Ben's Original. At the time, Mars said that packaging with a new name will hit stores next year. The new Pearl Milling Company products will make a reference to the old brand, according to the imaging Pepsi Company release. They say new name, same great taste, Aunt Jemima. Quaker said that this brought input from customers, employees, and external cultural experts as it develops a new brand name. Quaker said it is also donating $1 million to groups that empower black women and girls as part of the Pearl Milling Company rollout. So there's Aunt Jemima changing around a different name. Okay, here's a... This CDC, I guess this is a little bit too, or it's a little bit too far off. The third CDC study, I'll go ahead and paraphrase this. Two men are better than one. U.S. government researchers found that wearing two masks is better than one in coronavirus spread. And health officials stopped short of recommending that everyone double up. Disease control and prevention of the results of a lot of scandals. They placed two artificial heads 6 feet from each other and checked to see how many coronavirus sized particles fused by one were inhaled by the other. The researchers found that wearing a mask, surgical or cloth, blocked about 40% of the particles coming through the nose that was breathing in. When a cloth mask was worn on top of that surgical mask, about 80% was lost. When the exhaling and inhaling heads were double masked, more than 95% of the particles were blocked. The CDC Dr. John Brooks said, for now, health authorities say they have more hands full are trying to get more people to wear one mask correctly. First challenge is to get as many as people as possible masking, and then for those that do mask, to help them get the best benefit of that mask. What really gets me in all this is I think people are really, you know, people will do, they'll jump off a bridge if someone tells them to, if they think, that, you know, it's going to help them in some way, or think that they have to do what their doctor says, or have to do what their congressman says, or president says, you know, and they take advantage of it.
Well, liberal Democrats especially, it's hard to tell what's in these vaccines. They're all these vaccines are experimental vaccines, and a lot of people, as a matter of fact, I had an article I was going to read. A lot of people are passing away first, second, third, and after, days after, 3 days after, taking it, thousands of them so far, over a thousand. They're keeping a lot of this under wraps. They really don't know what this vaccine's going to do. It has not been tested on humans except right now. You're the guinea pig. So, they have no obligation if anything happens to you or, you know, anyone else around. There's no obligation that they have no anything that happens. You cannot sue them or, you know, take any kind of court action. They're immune. So be careful. I know for a fact that it looks to me like listening to all the people, the doctors that are speaking against the vaccine, they're not sure, and they know that it could cause cancer or autoimmune diseases in the future. So if you possibly talk yourself into doing it, not taking this vaccine, you are very, very fortunate not to. So don't fall for their bull crap on the vaccine. You're much better off using your immune system to fight it. There's a lot of stuff in there that is very damaging, and the fake news and all the groups that are watching the emails sending out are stopping a lot of these emails, especially conservative emails or anything about the China virus and the vaccine. So, you know, it's my opinion is they're stopping those emails about the vaccines. They don't want people to know what's really in it and what's going on. So just remember that. The vaccine is KAHJY.
Hey, Mr. Larry, do you happen to have a pen and pencil near you? Over.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a website. It's a YouTube video. It's from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She's a virologist in Cleveland, Ohio. She's associated with the Cleveland Clinic. And it's a long video, but knowing your thoughts on the virus, you will very much enjoy this video. So I'm going to give you the website. It's not that bad, but I'll do it word for or letter for letter. Hotel Tango Tango Papa Sierra : // Yankee Oscar Uniform Tango Uniform / Bravo Echo / Capital George Zebra Ida Capital George Yankee November Capital Alpha O Oscar 0 Echo Kilo. So https://youtu.be/ capital G-Z-I, capital G-Y-N, capital A-O, zero, Echo King. It's the video from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. It is an awesome video to watch, Larry.
Okay, a lot of them are saying technologies in there, military technology and all, and they could be using that. There's a lot of different benefits for it. They're saying that it could be aluminum particles in there that go to the brain, and I've watched a few videos, and they do not want you to take this. It's a terrible stuff. It could cause cancer and autoimmune in the future. So if you trust the government, which I do not, and there's just too much artificial intelligence, it messes with your DNA. Who wants the DNA to be screwed up? You certainly don't want to have it screwed up with a vaccine. So I appreciate it, Bob. I got all that down. And there is an order out to stop all these videos and to keep people from watching us. So, that right there tells us to come back to you.
Yeah, and you touched on what she touches on. So she talked about the different vaccinations that we have, measles, mumps, rubella. They are RNA vaccinations. However, this new one is a messenger, an mRNA vaccine. So she pretty much talked about how this vaccination is got an on switch, but no off switch. And her prediction is 4 months to 1 year, we're going to start seeing autoimmune and Bell's palsy problems in people. She's talking about how many already reported problems the people are having from the vaccination and the death. It's really a good video. She's not a bullshitter, and she's probably 64 years old. She got her medical license in 85. It is a good watch. You will not regret it, and it'll really reinforce the fact that you don't want to take that shot. Over.
Oh, yeah. All of us, artificial intelligence and different things, the DNA changing and all that, and it's definitely something that you don't want to be involved in. So thank you, Bobby, for it.
All righty, Mr. Larry, I guess I'll close the door. It was fun. Sorry we didn't have a better turnout. I apologize if there's something I can do about that. And I won't be here on Saturday. I will be celebrating for my son who served. You're on the same time as I am on Saturday at 12 noon. If you're thinking about it, pour yourself a shot and do a toast, because we will be toasting Robert at 12 noon on Saturday. So, again, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. And Miss Laura, it's a pleasure to have you riding along with us. Mr. Christopher, I kept on calling him James. I didn't know any better. Kilo November 4, Zulu Echo Sierra, Mr. Christopher, thank you for riding along with us. So as I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are listening. 73s to other Liberty Netters, such as Mr. Victor, W1 WCR, Mr. Marty, Net Manager, N2 IRJ, Miss Laura, the cutie, N2 JTTF, and of course we have to include Quintessa, K1 ITTY. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country, Dear Lord, please don't let us go down in flames. Please. This is KAJY for the Liberty Net.